Assassin. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, it's not a good day to be a Cowboys fan today. That is for damn sure. We were brought back down to life. Just like that. But we'll get to that game in a bit here, because obviously we'll end with that one, since I do go in order of when the games were played. So we'll get to the fun game last. Ugh. But anyways, we did have a good weekend of football. I guess depending on which side you were on, but I mean, just generally speaking, if you're talking football, it's football, and it is playoff time. It was a good weekend of divisional football. So let's start with the Jacksonville Jaguars. We're at the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs did get the win, 27-20. Really no surprises there. The actual big surprise was Patrick Mahomes sprained his ankle in the first half. And you could tell it did bother him when he didn't eventually come back into the game. You know, he actually did not want to come out of the game. He was basically forced to go back into the locker room and at least get x-rays or some type of treatment on it just to take a look at it. He did end up coming back out in the second half, and he played. I mean, come on, he's Patrick Mahomes. You know, he knows what's expected of him, and he came right out, and he was still pretty effective for being a one-legged Mahomes. It obviously took the him running out of the equation, just because like I've been saying all season, that's something that they've added back into the offense. And and honestly, it wasn't really because he ran. I mean, he really got tackled and the dude landed on his ankle. It is what it is. But we'll see if that actually has an effect in the championship game and possibly the Super Bowl if they end up making it there. But that was the big deal. But still, you know, Mahomes went 22 for 30, 195 yards and two touchdowns. Jason Kelce, I'm sorry, Travis Kelce, Jason. Jason's plays for the Eagles. Travis Kelce, the tight end for the Chiefs. He's right now he's just busted his way into the top five for most receiving yards ever for a receiver. I actually think he's at number three now. I think he's only behind Jerry Rice, Julian Edelman, and maybe one other person. But regardless, I think he just passed Gronkowski this weekend. But regardless, Kelsey's a tight end, and the dude is breaking records as a tight end. He had 98 yards and two touchdowns in this game. He not only caught a touchdown from Mahomes, but he also caught a touchdown from Chad Henne, who came in place of Mahomes while he was getting treatment. But, I mean, really, the Jags actually hung in there. This was a very close game. It really was Chiefs for the most part, though, the whole way. You could actually kind of tell that Trevor Lawrence, he still is getting his feet under him. He had a couple of turnovers, and especially in critical moments. But, I mean, the Jaguars definitely took some leaps and bounds this season. And they looked good, and they still played very well against the Chiefs. And even though Mahomes was hobbled, he still was Mahomes. I mean, he threw one touchdown off of one foot, his good foot. So, I mean, real talk, even an injured Mahomes is not a bad Mahomes. Basically, the turning point was really the last two drives for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Both of those drives ended in turnovers. One was a fumble, one was an interception. But that really was basically the turning point in this one. The Chiefs defense just hung on to this, and the offense, they had their moments. But really, outside of Kelce, I mean, Pacheco, he had a good game. And so we'll see what the Chiefs have in the AFC Championship game, because definitely this Mahomes injury could be an issue at some point. But we'll see. He's still Patrick Mahomes, and you can't ever count that dude out unless he's physically taken out of the game with something, a much more horrible injury. Then we had the Philadelphia Eagles versus the New York Giants, and the Eagles took care of business in that one. It was ended up being 38-7 final score in that one. And I mean, really, I'm not surprised at all that this is how it ended. As I said, I never believed in the Giants. I thought they were fake this whole season. And I knew they were going to get exposed at some point. And this week, they most certainly got exposed. The Eagles definitely took advantage of that bye week. They were able to rest up Hurts, who still admits he's still hurting. But I mean, come on, at this point in the season, pretty much everybody's hurting. And he still looked pretty damn good. He went 16 for 24, 154 yards. Two passing touchdowns and one rushing touchdown. So he's still getting it done on the ground. Gainwell had 112 rushing yards and one touchdown. And then Sanders had 90 rushing yards on the ground. So they really took care of business on the ground. The Giants just were not effective in any way, shape, or form. And basically the Eagles just kind of scored on the majority of their possessions and really just never let up until the end. And I mean, literally, they scored a touchdown just to end the game, just to add a cherry on top to send the Giants home in a horrible playoff loss. But I mean, it's not really surprising because the Eagles, they've been the number one team all season long. And while, yes, they did stumble into the playoffs, I did also mention that they were getting healthy this week, and they did get their health back. Their defense really, they got a couple of turnovers. They really put the pressure on Daniel Jones. And it was a really good all-around game from the Philadelphia Eagles, and they are moving on to the NFC Championship game. Then Sunday's games, we had the Cincinnati Bengals at the Buffalo Bills, and the Bengals dominated this game start to finish. They got the win 27-10, and this team is confident as hell. I've bought into them, but I didn't know if I bought into them being a championship team because I thought at some point this offensive line was going to be a problem. But you know what? I'm over that excuse with them. I don't need to throw that out there just because this team has no problems with that. I mean, last year they made the Super Bowl, and despite their horrible offensive line, and they did improve the offensive line this year, but the injuries have been just piling up. And you know what? It did not affect them at all in this game. As a matter of fact, you know, I had said I thought a huge issue was going to be their ground attack because it hasn't really got going. Well, Joe Mixon said, shut the fuck up, Trop, and had 105 rushing yards and a touchdown. So they got it going on the ground. And then Joe Burrow, this guy is just cold. He did not, I mean, it was snowing hard in Buffalo. And it wasn't like bitch snow. I mean, this was like piling up throughout the whole game. I mean, by the time the game was in the fourth quarter, they had probably like a good near foot on the ground. So this is not like ideal playing weather. And you know what? Joe Burrow looked cold as ice. This dude was completing deep passes, short passes. He was running. There was no issues with Joe Burrow in this weather. He went 23 for 36, 242 yards and two touchdowns. Ja'Marr Chase had 61 receiving yards and a touchdown. This team is cold, and it's not just the offense. The defense is just locking it down, getting the job done. They are by no means the best defense in the league, but they get the job done. They cause turnovers when they need to. They make the big plays when they need to. And it's just now become really difficult for me to pick against the Bengals and say, oh, their offensive line is trash. It doesn't matter. This team is damn good. They dominated the Bills. The Bills are not a chump team. Now, I'm going to keep it real. It didn't look like the Bills came to play yesterday. They looked completely, they just had no energy from the start. I mean, their first drive was a three and out, and it was pretty much three and outs the whole day. Josh Allen wasn't really on, but even so, you know, usually when the Bills don't have a good game, that means Josh Allen had a couple of turnovers. Well, he only had one interception yesterday, and that was in garbage time when there was like a minute left on the clock and they really had no shot at a win. They were just kind of throwing up shit there. And so for the most part, you know, Josh Allen had a pretty good day. It's just that team just was not clicking at all. The defense, they were on their heels the entire game. Joe Burrow, the first drive, Bengals come right out, and boom, right out the gate. And it wasn't a struggle for them to score. They just, like, walked down the field and just kept scoring. And it's just crazy that the confidence of this team is something else. And you really got to watch out for these Bengals. And I'm going to keep it real, y'all. I'm actually done picking against the Bengals. I think the Bengals, I'm just going to say right now, I think the Bengals are going to be the Super Bowl champs. They're just playing at such a high level right now. They've been here. And it's going to be a great matchup between them and the Chiefs this weekend. And obviously, I'll get more into the championship matchups on Friday's show. But, man, those Bengals, they're looking damn good. The Bills did not look good at all. This was a bad game from them, and it was probably one of their worst games of the season. So, yeah, we'll see what happens there. Huge letdown for them because the Bills were, I mean, I picked them at the beginning of the season as my Super Bowl pick. I stuck with them when the playoffs began, but I had questions about them, and the big question for me with the Bills is their ground attack, so they definitely need to get a solid running back and not rely on Josh Allen for their ground attack. I mean, it's great to have Josh Allen be able to run, but that should be an option, an added layer to your offense. That should not be your main source of running is your quarterback. It usually doesn't bode well for you. And they usually start getting injured as well. And so far, he's been able to avoid any major injuries, but you never know what's going to happen. And so, yeah, Bills are going home, and Cincinnati is on to Kansas City for a second straight year in a row. We had this great AFC Championship game last year, so we'll see what happens with this one. But as I said, I don't think I'm picking against the Bengals at all again the rest of this postseason. Now let's get to the shit show that was the Dallas Cowboys at the San Francisco 49ers. 49ers got the win 19-12. What sucks most about this game is, you know, I'm glad it wasn't an ass-kicking because that would have been the worst. But what's second worst about this game is that the Cowboys just shot themselves in the foot. They actually, you know, if you look at the stats, they pretty much held down every 49er superstar in check on offense. It's just the Niners not only made the big plays when they needed to, but the Cowboys just kept shooting themselves in the foot. It was dumbass penalty after dumbass penalty. Fucking Dak, he goes from having a spectacular game last week to this bullshit yesterday with two interceptions, and they just never got going offensively. And you can't even blame Tony Pollard going out with an injury just because, I mean, yes, that's a big deal. But at the same time, I don't think it would have, I still think the result would have been exactly the same had Tony Pollard played. I don't think that was the issue. I just think the Cowboys did not play a good game. The penalties killed them, and those dumbass two interceptions by Dak killed them as well. I mean, really, the Niners had like two good drives yesterday. I mean, we set them up for, we gave them 6 points with those two interceptions from Dak. And one of the interceptions was in the red zone, too, for the Cowboys. Like, they were getting ready to score at least 3 points. Now, obviously, the whole field goal kicker situation with him missing the kicks last week, that's obviously in the Cowboys' head. And that it did affect them on a couple of drives where they did end up going for it on fourth down when they probably would have kicked a field goal in the end. So that definitely held them back as well. But these idiots shot themselves in the foot, and they did not deserve to win that one yesterday. You know, there was the first good drive that the Niners had started, and this was like, I believe, the fourth quarter or third quarter. It was in the second half. And right off the bat, Cowboys have an offsides call right on them. And we actually have the Niners backed up. I think they're at their own like 10, 15. And so right off the bat, offsides. And I'm like, fuck. This never bodes well. When the Cowboys do that to themselves, usually the team ends up scoring. And what happens? Well, the Cowboys have another penalty on this drive, put the Niners with a first down. And then the defense finally is starting to hold it down. Well, I mean, finally. The defense actually had a spectacular night, as I said. They held, Christian McCaffrey only had 35 yards rushing on the ground. He didn't do shit. Deebo Samuel didn't do shit. The only person who did shit was George Kittle. And honestly, he only had a couple of big plays. For the most part, we held this team down. Brock Purdy did not look that great. He looked like a very mediocre quarterback. Granted, he didn't make any big mistakes, but still, he didn't look that effective either. But so on this drive, one of the good drives that the Niners had, it's third down, and it's like third and long, too. I can't recall. It might have been something like 18. It was long. And so the Cowboys, you know, it's looking like real good here. We're gonna hold them, and we're going to get the punt, and we're going to get the ball back, and hopefully the offense is able to do something. Well, in true Cowboys fashion, George Kittle basically just kind of tosses, Brock Purdy kind of tosses up a prayer right up at George Kittle. And Kittle starts bouncing the ball, and it looks like it's just going to fall. And, of course, Kittle makes the pass and makes the big first down. And after that, it was just Niners ground and pound all the way till they would eventually score a touchdown. And they would take the lead right there. And then the Cowboys would lay an egg on the next drive and give the ball back to the Niners, and then they would drive it back down the field. Cowboys, once again, would shoot themselves in the foot with a couple more penalties on yet another drive and set the Niners up in field goal position just to get them a little bit of extra breathing room. And they would just go on and win the game. And everybody's ripping this last play of the game. And it's like, dude, y'all, they were not doing anything. First and foremost, we should all know by now, Dak Prescott does not have a strong arm. Dak Prescott's not Patrick Mahomes. He's not Aaron Rodgers. He's not Josh Allen. He's a good quarterback. I know a lot of people are questioning that today and have been for his career. And honestly, he didn't shut anybody up, but he's a mid-tier quarterback, and he can get the job done if he has enough weapons around him. But he ain't ever going to be tossing down the big Hail Mary because he just doesn't have that type of arm. And so people are ripping this last play, and it's like, we didn't have a shot then anyways. There was like a few seconds left on the clock. We weren't doing anything. In my opinion, I'm glad it was a quick fucking draw right there, because I wanted that game to be over at that point, just because we did not deserve to win that shit. We deserve to go the fuck home, and we deserve to sit on that shit and think about that shit and remember that shit, because that was absolute shit. Especially because, like I said, we held down this Niners offense like nobody has all season. We gave them their toughest test on the defense. Our defense just kicked ass yesterday. And unfortunately for them, the last couple of drives, yes, they let those up. But at the end of the day, they were just locking it down. It did suck that Diggs dropped that interception, because that would have been a huge change. But I mean, we should have had this win, but we just shot ourselves in the fucking foot. And of course, overreactors, I hate people who think you got to blow shit up immediately. And it's like, no, you don't. I mean, first and foremost, when it comes to Dak at quarterback, there's this old saying by Bill Parcells where he says, what do you expect to think it's so easy to get a quarterback that you just call 1-800 dial a quarterback and you've got a new quarterback ready in your system? That's not the way it works. We are stuck with Dak. Unless magically Tom Brady decides he wants to come sign with us, or there's rumors that Aaron Rodgers might get traded, so maybe we could trade for him. But other than that, there is not like a quarterback out there who's going to come right into our system and turn things around immediately. We will have to wait another couple of years if we have a new quarterback. And really, if you look at it from, I'm going to put an actual, not only positive spin on this loss, but a true realist, I've been watching football my entire life spin on this. See, most of y'all are very in the moment, and you pretty much only remember things as they're happening. And you don't remember last season. And hell, most of y'all don't remember 5 seasons ago. Or seasons from when you were growing up and first started watching football. This bitch who's talking through this microphone remembers everything. And there's one thing I got to tell you about this team and the positive outlook on this team, okay? We're headed in the right direction. You're never going to win the Super Bowl right off the bat. You have to build something and keep moving forward. Let's just put it this way, okay? Mike McCarthy, this was his third season as head coach. His first season, I don't really count because Dak's ankle was flopping the other way. And so we didn't have Dak that season. And it's really a difficult to overcome having a backup quarterback. I know the 49ers make it look oh so fucking easy. And we all know Brock Purdy's the second coming of Tom fucking Brady. But it's a quarterback matters. And so I don't count the first season of Mike McCarthy. So then last year, we win the division. We have we get 12 wins last year, and we make the playoffs. Yes, it was a bad loss in the wild card round, but you got to look at it like this. This is a new team, and we headed into the playoffs. We won our division. Okay, we could build off of that. And what did we do this season? We did improve. We did fucking improve. We didn't win our division, but that... I mean, the Eagles, who knew the fuck they were going to dominate the season? They beat us by like a couple of games for the division. I mean, so that's irrelevant in my opinion. We still had 12 wins. Not only did we make it further into the playoffs this year, but we did dominate Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And I don't care what anybody says, that fucking matters. So we did move further. Next year is the year. We got to do something next year. Now there's a couple, and really this team is pretty much complete. We just need, obviously, the absence of Amari Cooper, which I thought was going to be a big deal, was a big deal this season. We need another playmaking receiver. CeeDee Lamb is spectacular. He's a huge playmaker, and he is our number one, but we need another receiver. So whether it's through the draft or through free agency, I'm hearing DeAndre Hopkins is out there, and I'm not going to lie to kick it. I would fucking love to see that dude in a Dallas Cowboys uniform. Don't know if that's possible because I know our cap situation's a little bit different this year. But the Cowboys, they need to get one more playmaker. We need to keep Pollard. Zeke needs to restructure his contract because he's pretty much a goal line dude at this point, which I'm totally fine with. He's also great in the blocking aspect of it. We could use a little bit more help on the offensive line, and we need some more help in the secondary. But overall, the Cowboys are a damn good team. And yes, it's an awful fucking way to end the season. But you know what? There is only one team that's going to walk away happy at the end of this season. And it's not going to be the Cowboys this year, but it's not going to be three of these four teams left are going home too. And it sucks. And, you know, when it's the Cowboys, it's always accentuated times a million. But you can't blow shit up. And like I said, what are we going to get? There's nothing out there. There's no some magic quarterbacks not appearing out of anywhere. Now, if Tom Brady wants to come sign with us for next year, I am all for this because that would be the last missing piece. And you know Tom Brady could work with this team. Great defense, great offensive line, tons of weapons for the dude. Come on. We all know an offensive head coach with Mike McCarthy, we all know Tom Brady would love that shit. But I don't even think that's an option. And then this Aaron Rodgers possibly getting traded shit, I don't know how I feel about that either because that might just be, you know, the same Aaron Rodgers drama we've been getting in the offseason the last couple of seasons. But real talk, if we can somehow trade him for Dak, yeah, I'm totally down with that. But honestly, sorry, y'all, we are stuck with Dak. And Dak's not the worst quarterback on the planet. There is worse than that, but that was a poor performance from him. He knows that was a poor performance from him. But as I said, the Cowboys are improving. They have improved under the Mike McCarthy era, the Dak Prescott era. We'll see what they bring for us next year. Unfortunately, that's the saying of a Cowboys fan is there's always next year. And that's what we had to look forward to. But like I said, there's only going to be one team happy this year, and three of the four teams left right now will be joining the Cowboys. So don't get your panties too up in a wad. I mean, to me, it's so weird also because, you know, I don't usually touch on things like this because I know it's just kind of a part of being an athlete, but it's really always been, I find it ridiculous when people send threats to players. You know, I saw some very... ugly. I mean, I see ugly shit towards Dak all the time, but there was a lot of ugly shit today. And it's just like, you need to get a life. Like, it's a football game. None of us are actually playing this game. And I mean, real talk, I'm doing a podcast on sports. And my life pretty much revolves around sports. I'm almost always watching a game of some sort. And I mean, you wouldn't understand like the time it takes really to do a lot of the research I do for this show. And that's on my own time. I don't get paid to do this. This is literally just because I fucking love sports. So I'm a person who loves sports pretty much more than anybody. And I understand that this is only a game and it actually doesn't affect my life in any way, shape, or form. Other than, you know, the 4 hours that game goes on, best believe when if you want to see a nut job, watch a Dallas Cowboys game with me. And it's specifically a Cowboys game. I mean, my emotions are from low to high. I'll be pacing, especially yesterday's game. I have not felt that on edge in a Cowboys game in quite some time because, hey, it was a competitive game. It was close the whole way throughout, and it was back and forth for the most part. You know, once the Niners took the lead and I could just see that the offense was not getting anything going, I could see the writing on the wall that the Niners were going to win that game. But, I mean, for the most part, I was on edge. I'm pacing back and forth. I'm yelling shit. I'm acting like I'm going to do something. And, nah. And then once the game's over, the game's over, and you move on with life. But, like, sending threats to Dak and telling him he should, like, kill himself and join his brother, that's like, what is wrong with you? So you people are whack. You need to get a life. And, I mean, it's fine to be mad at him for the performance he put on the field, but let's not be sending threats. And also, none of y'all are going to do shit. And none of y'all could even do half of what Dak can do. So that says a lot about you, dummies. So NFC Championship game is going to be San Francisco 49ers at the Philadelphia Eagles, the two top teams in the NFC for damn sure. So like I said, I'll get into those games on Friday's show. But we're going to have two interesting matchups this weekend. All right, now let's move on to basketball and the top 10 NBA power rankings. We have a little bit of a shakeup, and I mean, I'm not going to lie, this week's top 10 was extremely difficult once I got to around 7, 8 area because, wow, some of these teams have taken a shit, especially in the Western Conference. I do not know what's going on in the West right now. Usually the Eastern Conference is the weaker conference, but nah. Right now the Western Conference is looking like straight trash. Some of these teams are lucky to have 3 wins in 10 games lately, so it was real difficult for me to even like figure out what was going on in the end here. And you're going to notice not a lot of Western Conference teams here because they are not playing well right now and they are not deserving of being anywhere in this top 10. And of course, my Lakers still suck, so they're going to be nowhere near this top 10. Oh, but they made this big trade for Hachimura from Washington. So watch out, guys. The Lakers are going to make a big old run, right? Nah, I doubt it. But we'll see. We'll see. We still got LeBron, right? He could do anything. Anyways, under some real teams. Starting with number 1. This week on my top 10 NBA power rankings, the damn Boston Celtics have mollywopped their way back into the number 1 spot. Overall record of 35-12. I mean, this team has not been bad at all. Their slump has been a bullshit slump. But they are now on a 9-game winning streak, so they are no longer slumping. This past week, they beat Charlotte, Golden State, and Toronto. And, you know, they're just doing it in dominating fashion, dropping bombs. And Jason Tatum is just the leader of this pack and just having a phenomenal fucking season for the Celtics. Then at number 2 on my top 10 NBA power rankings, I have the Denver Nuggets. Overall record of 33-14. They are 9-1 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the Portland Trail Blazers, the Minnesota Timberwolves, and the Indiana Pacers, and lost to the Oklahoma City Thunder. And you know what? Jokic has actually missed a couple of games, and they are still getting wins. So while Jokic kind of feels like he is everything to this team, they still look damn good, even though he's missed a couple of games this week. Then at number 3, and they're like, them and the Grizzlies right now are like the only 2 good teams in the West, and the rest is just straight trash. Well, there's another team in here that I just still can't deny, but we'll get there when we get there. So at number 3 on my top 10 NBA power rankings are the Philadelphia 76ers, overall record of 30-16. They are on a 5-game winning streak, and they've won they're 8-2 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the Clippers, the Trailblazers, and the Kings. And, man, Joel Embiid, he is leading the league in points per game right now. He's averaging 33.6 points per game. He is just on fire. Tyrese Maxey, he's come back with the vengeance. And James Harden, guy is money when he's not injured or throwing a fit, you know. So, but this year he seems to be putting it all in, and the 76ers are really, really looking good right now. Then at number four in my top 10 NBA power rankings, the aforementioned Memphis Grizzlies, over a overall record of 31-15, 8-2 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the Phoenix Suns and the Cleveland Cavaliers and lost to the Lakers and the Phoenix Suns. Honestly, their only weakness with the Grizzlies right now at this point, I mean, it's really difficult to say that just because they are a spectacular team. And as I just said, them and the Nuggets are like the only two consistent teams in the Western Conference at this current point in time. But the only real weakness you could say with the Grizzlies is that they're not that great on the road. They did barely just lose to the Lakers, so how embarrassing is that shit? Also losing to the Suns, man. The Suns are not looking good either this season. But the only weakness for the Grizzlies right now, not great on the road, but hey, they could turn that around at some point this season. We have not even reached the halfway point yet. Then at number five on my top 10 NBA power rankings, the only other Western Conference team that is doing a goddamn thing right now would be the Sacramento Kings. Overall record of 26-19. They are 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the Lakers and the Oklahoma City Thunder and lost to the 76ers. I don't know what the hell's going on with this team. I don't know how they keep winning. I never expected them to be good. They are better than the fucking Lakers. Like, that is pathetic. That's awful. But hey, congrats to the Kings. I don't know how long this is going to last, if they're going to be a playoff team. But at this rate, they're probably going to be, because the Western Conference, I am not kidding, is just trash right now. Some of these teams are on such bad losing streaks, and they look like they just can't get it together. There's the Kings, and they are the only other Western Conference team I have in my top 10. The rest is all the Eastern Conference. Going to number six on my top 10 NBA power rankings, the Milwaukee Bucks. Overall record of 29-17. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the Pacers and the Toronto Raptors and lost to the Cleveland Cavaliers. They have been getting it done without Giannis. He's missed, I believe, 5 games. I know he missed like all of last week and a little bit of the week before, so he's missed a few games. But even so, they've been able to overcome. And they're still looking like a very solid team. I believe Middleton is also hurt as well. It's not just Giannis. It's Middleton as well. And he's like their second dude. So they're playing great despite the injuries. Then at number seven on my top 10 NBA power rankings, the Brooklyn Nets. Overall record of 29-17. They are 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost to the Spurs and the Phoenix Suns and beat the Utah Jazz and the Golden State Warriors. Kyrie Irving is actually playing pretty decent in the absence of Kevin Durant. Not that great, because obviously they are falling ever since Kevin Durant got injured. But hey, they are still treading water right now, and they should be able to hang on. I mean, I'm sure Durant's probably going to be back here in the next couple of weeks, I would imagine. He's been out for, what, 2, possibly 3 weeks now? I think we're going on week 3 now. So he should maybe be getting ready to come back, but we'll see. But right now, Irving is sort of holding it down, I guess, as best as he can. Then at number 8 on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Miami Heat, overall record of 26-22. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost to the Atlanta Hawks and the Dallas Mavericks, but beat the New Orleans Pelicans twice. They are a very Jekyll and Hyde team. It's like the one game, they will just dominate you. The next one, they will just lay an egg. You really never know what you're going to get from the Miami Heat. But here they are. You know, like I said, it was difficult once I got down to these last couple of teams here, because the Western Conference is that bad right now. Then at number 9 on my top 10 NBA power rankings, I have the Cleveland Cavaliers. Overall record of 29-19. They are 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the New Orleans Pelicans and the Milwaukee Bucks, but lost to the Memphis Grizzlies and the Golden State Warriors. So you see with them, I would say they're less Jekyll and Hyde than the Heat. I feel like they're actually more reliable than the Heat. And they are a really good team. But they can also lay an egg on occasions. But they're still there. I still think the Cavs are a really good team and have been making noise all season in the Eastern Conference and will continue to do so, including come playoff time. And then rounding out the top 10 NBA power rankings this week, the New Orleans Pelicans. This was a total reach for me just because they are not doing well right now. They are treading water as best as they can without Zion on the court. They're 26-21 right now on the season. They are 3-7 in their last 10 games. And that's what I mean. That's like what most of the Western Conference is riding with right now, a 3-7 record in their last 10 games. Like, I can't even justify putting you in my top 10, but I really just did because, you know, the Pelicans are still up there in the rankings, the standings for the in the Western Conference, and I mean they don't have Zion, so they're still playing pretty decent without him. But it was a stretch to figure out those last couple of teams in the top 10 this week because the Western Conference is garbage. So, anyways. Now let's move on to college basketball. I've talked about it on and off lately just because, you know, college basketball is an on and off sport. And now that the football season's winding down, college basketball actually does start to ramp up. We have about a month and a half left of college basketball. So it's now getting down to the nitty gritty. And we did actually have a couple of upsets this weekend. And we do have a new number one this week in the AP top 10. So this week, new number one is Purdue. They are 19-1 on the season. And that's honestly not shocking to me because Purdue's been a team who's really been, they've been making some noise the last couple of years in college basketball. And so I wouldn't be shocked if this is a team that ends up in the Final Four come March Madness. And I know we're a ways away from that, but Purdue's just been a really good team and they are obviously showing it being ranked number one this week. Then at number two in the college basketball AP top 10, Alabama, 17-2 on the season, which is crazy because usually it's just football that they're known for. But also their basketball team has started to really get it going the last couple of seasons. And so, look, here they are, ranked at number two, just looking like a damn good team. Then at number three this week, Houston. They fell. They've actually been number one for the majority of the season, but they were upset this week against Temple. They lost to Temple, and now Houston is 18-2 on the season. Then at number four on the college basketball AP top 10, Tennessee is 16-3. Then at number five, Kansas State is 17-2. Then at number six, Arizona got a big win this week. They are 17-3, and they ended up ending UCLA's 14-game winning streak on the season. So big win for Arizona, boosted them up in the rankings this week. Then at number seven in the college basketball AP top 10 rankings, Virginia is 15-3. Number eight is UCLA, 17-3. As I mentioned, they were on a 12-game winning streak. And really, they are looking like a damn good team. I actually, as I said, March Madness is really early to be thinking about that right now. But I'm kind of, they might be a team I might end up picking for a championship run or kind of a deep run, obviously, depending on where they are in the brackets. But, having a 14-game winning streak kind of preps you for a March Madness run, and they're just a really damn good team. They're great defensively. They make some great shots, but they just lost a tough one to Arizona this week. Then Kansas fell all the way down to number nine this week. They're 16-3. They actually, Bill Self suffered his worst loss of his career at TCU against TCU this week, 83-60. So that's why they fell so far in the rankings. And then rounding out the college basketball AP top 10 this week is my Texas Longhorns, Hook'em Horns, motherfucker, 16-3 on the season. They're hanging in there. Even though the drama with their coach happened, they are still hanging in there, and they still look pretty damn good, too. They've had a lot of close games this season, and they've actually been down at halftime a lot, but they seem to end up making a comeback and looking real good. So like what I'm seeing from them. I like what I'm seeing from UCLA. So getting pretty interesting in college basketball. So enjoy the rest of the week of sports. And we will be talking conference championship games on Friday.